If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Do you actually know God loves you? Do you know He loves you? Are you convinced that He loves you? I know sometimes things don't go the way you want them to go and you aren't sure at that time, but He really does love us. Check this out. It took me 15 years after I came to Him. It took me 15 years to learn it, but this year I believed it. And you know how He told it to me? By watching Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Duplantis at 4:35 in the morning say it. And they said, now just say, God loves me. And I said, absolutely not. And then Kenneth said, now put your name in there. He said, now you say your name. I said, God loves Eric. Right then, 2015, from the time I came to God. Now, I know He loves me. I ain't too sure He likes me, but I'm sure He loves me. But how does God prove that? There's only one way you can know God loves you, through the demonstration of His people. That's what the Word says. The Word says, hereby know we the love of God because we care one for another. And I wasn't finding that in church. So I said, how can God love me when everybody's hating me for what I do? When people are obstinate to what I say? How are you going to say you love me and not do what I tell you to do? I said, Lord, it ain't possible. I said, so if they don't love me, you don't love me. But I did my job. I did what He told me to do. Because my assurance had nothing to do with my command. And some of you in here right now, truth be told, you haven't had anybody treat you with decency, kindness, and respect. And so how can you receive the love of God when you've never had it as a human? Some of you in here now have never even had the love of a mother. Or a father. Your father was abusive. Your mother was despicable. You have never even had that kind of relationship. How are you going to tell me that you can show love to God when you've never had to show it to anybody? You don't even love your husband. You don't love your wife. And truth be told, you really don't love your children. And there's no shame in that. The shame is in not noticing when it happens. See, we think that just because you give birth, you're supposed to love them. Some parents don't love their children, and it's not because of anything the child has done. It's because they've never had love themselves. How can you give what you've never had? And you can always tell those individuals who never felt that from their parents growing up, because when they become adults, some of them, not all of them, they're two extremes. There's the one who never felt it, who has nothing to do with their parents, and then there's the one who never felt it, who tries to overcompensate and say, I want to make up for those years. You got to find the middle. Being sure that God loves me doesn't mean that I'm going to travel all over the world now, because I'm sure You love me. No, what that means is that I can rest in the fact that whatever happens, He's in control. Good or bad, He's there. And according to Jeremiah 29, He said His plan is designed to give me hope. Do you have hope in whatever's coming into your life? Has someone come into your life that does not give you hope? Get rid of them. Why would God cause you to marry somebody who's not full of hope? You get connected to that person. They say, well, you're living in the project. That's what we're going to be for the next 20 years. I don't need you. Why would God send me somebody who lives in the floor underneath me? I want somebody to come get me. Get me out of here. I don't care how sweet they are, how good looking they are. Listen, none of that stuff matters in 40 years. Gravity starts taking over. Everything starts falling. You can't love packages. You gotta love what's inside. And that's what God is saying. God said, look, don't fill up the church because everything's going well. Fill it up when things are going poorly. Don't just praise me because everything's going well. Praise me in the midst of difficult circumstances. Paul and Silas waited till they were locked up in a Philippian jail to give God jail-busting praise. I challenge you to do that. Bad medical report, give God praise. Pink slip at the job, give God praise. Don't settle into the devil's request to stop praising God. Praise him anyway. Why? Whatever comes, God said it is designed to give you hope. My God, Jesus took your sin and your sickness on the cross. The Bible says he took your sickness and your disease. The devil tries to throw sickness on you, give it back to Jesus. Just like he took your sin, he took your sickness. Now you give God praise. And when sickness tries to settle in on you, praise your way out of it. Why? Why? Because he said here, my thoughts are thoughts of peace. Listen to what God says about himself. God says, I don't have no evil thoughts towards you. Whoa! You want us going down south? They might have evil thoughts towards you. Because that's how they were developed. I went through boot camp with a boy from Mississippi. You know, I'm from Pennsylvania, so we were having a field day one day, scrubbing the floor of the squad bay. And I turned and I hit his foot with the brush. And it's one of those heavy, you know, it's a real hard brush that we use to scrub the floor. So I hit his foot. And so I looked up and I said, oh, I'm sorry. And he said, watch it, November, India, Gulf, Golf, Echo, Romeo. And when he said it, I stood up. And I was going to fight. I was 18 years old. I ain't going to call me that. Nobody calls me that. And then I said, where are you from? He said, Mississippi. I said, all right, you get one chance because that's how you were raised. And that's what you think we are. I said, but never, ever say that again. We went on to become best friends. See, sometimes people will say what they're accustomed to saying. God has a thought to bless you and to prosper you. And once you are certain that God wants to bless you, that God wants to increase you, you now start looking at the principles for increase. But there are about 5 or 6 principles that you need to master for increase. In Nehemiah chapter 1, he asks a friend about the status of the people of God in Jerusalem. And the Bible says that when he heard what was said in verse 3 of Nehemiah, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. When one goes to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and find that God says, I will make you the head and not the tail. You will have the ability to lend and not to borrow. Now apply that principle to Nehemiah chapter 1. And the way for you to ensure success in what you are about to go and do is to have compassion. For God will not make you successful if you don't have compassion for the needs of others. For why would God make you the head and give you the ability to lend if you don't care about people? If you don't care about that person sitting on the street corner waiting for a quarter for a cup of coffee, how can you be full of God and walk past them? How can you go back to your warm house with all types of food and goodies in that house that you know you will never eat in your lifetime? And see someone else and not care. John, even the book of 1 John, that letter is designed, it's a book of tests, and it's designed to help you know that you're saved. And John said, how can you say the love of God dwells in you and your brother and sister is hungry? How can we say it? How can we get up every day and fare sumptuously, eat big meals, go to Dave and Buster, Famous Dave's rather, and bring in all that those ribs and chicken, and bring home your bags and your carry-out trays, and not share it with somebody? How do we sit at Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners and say, Lord, remember those that don't have? And God said, I am remembering them. I'm looking at your table. You have 4 meats, 8 vegetables, 6 desserts, and Jell-O. How do you ask me to remember them when every one of us in here knows somebody who is not where you are? Why not make them a plate and take it to them? If you want to be successful, you have to put God in a position to bless you. But he will not do it if you're already fat. I want you to understand the principles of God so you can get off of the world system. You are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. It's a system that God has for you. When I went to Rome, it's a 6-hour time difference. I had to master that principle. I never did because I was used to this time. It takes me a while. But I never quite mastered the principle of them shutting down all the stores at 1 o'clock. What is it about the kingdom of God that we don't know? We don't know how God can take negatives and make positives. Listen carefully. If you understood how God can take a negative and make a positive, whenever a negative happens, you would rejoice. Because this book is full of God making positive out of negative. Joseph, Moses, Daniel, 3 Hebrew boys, right? They tell Nebuchadnezzar, we ain't bowing down. We are not going to submit ourselves to your kingdom. No, absolutely not. Nebuchadnezzar got upset. They said, look, not only are we not going to submit, but if our God doesn't deliver us, we still will not submit. Nebuchadnezzar said, turn that fire up 7 times hotter. We ain't putting up with this. And threw them into the fire. Watch this. All the fire did was burn off the ropes. All right, hold on. Hold on. Watch now. Something is keeping you from praising God. There's some ropes keeping your hands down. So God throws you in fire so it can burn off the ropes so you can get your praise back. All the fire does is burn off ropes. And the Bible says when Nebuchadnezzar looked in, he said, wait a minute. Didn't we throw in 3? They said, yeah, king, live forever. He said, but I see 4. And the 4th one looks like the Son of God. Your fiery trial brings Jesus into your situation. And when he shows up, it's time for you to get up and give him praise and give him glory. I am convinced he wants me blessed.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
08215P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news. Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Pray.